And back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Back to Work Monday, October 15th. Sam Speck, happy to have you along with us on a Monday morning. Joined in studio by Caney City Mayor Thomas Burke, as well as City Administrator Fred Gress. Good morning to you, gentlemen. It's been a while, but good to have you back in here.
Good morning, sir. Thank you.
Yes, I always enjoy these interviews as we speak upon what's happening in Caney, what is coming up in Caney, as well as a little bit of a preview of the meeting that happens tonight. So a little bit of a slow period of time there for a while there as we hadn't spoken with you guys in some time here. But, Thomas, you had spoken upon some things that are picking up a little bit. Some things are happening down in Caney. So.
Yeah. One thing is we're actually moving our council meetings. We're going to go from two council meetings a month to one council meeting a month.
Okay.
And I believe that's the third Monday of the month. Sure. And it's going to start – instead of at 7 o'clock, we're going to start the council meetings at 6 o'clock. So that's one of the big items that we really need to get out to make sure the public's aware of.
Gotcha. Okay. And is it same spot, same, you know?
Same spot.
Cool.
Everything's same.
Same spot, just different time and only once. Is that due to attendance or just kind of things that you can maybe pile into one instead of doing it in two?
Yeah. We can get most of the majority of things happening. Mm-hmm. The other thing that we can do is we can also call special meetings if we have things come up that really need attention. So,
any specific things like that? So, well, hey, we got a meeting tonight, I believe.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, what time does that take place? Normal time?
That'll be tonight at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Yes.
Okay, so it'll be at 6 p.m. this evening. Anything? We'll just go ahead and start from the top. Anything that kind of gets out there that is on the agenda right now that maybe someone might be asking some questions about?
Well, Sam, we do have a couple fire department issues that we've been discussing for a while. The newest one is the fire department would like to submit for a grant to consider purchasing a replacement tanker, something that'll carry 2,000, 2,500 gallons of water. There is a grant possibility out there. It's a 95-5 grant, so the city would have to tie up 5% of the total estimated cost. A tanker like this is going to be a little over $200,000, so the city is going to have to earmark and protect $10,000 plus whatever it ends up being. Now, that won't occur until 2019, but when you submit the grant application, which is due at the end of this month, you have to have the money available. So that's just simply the Kansas cash basis law. So
yeah, and I was going to ask you as well, with that tanker, is it planning on buying it new? Because I know some enforcement agencies, you know, will buy a used or a gently used from one agency, either cross border or whether it's in within the state or something like that. You know, you get one from Kansas City or something lightly used. Is that something that's interested, or are you guys just going to get a new tanker?
This unit going in would be a brand new unit.
Brand new.
And it will only occur if the grant is awarded, because the city of Caney can't afford the $200,000+. Occasionally, and a lot of fire departments apply for these similar grants, so it'll be a competitive grant application. And the better you write the grant, the better your opportunity to secure those money. So, anyway, the whole purpose tonight is one, to authorize the fire department to go ahead and submit that grant, and then with that, they understand that they're tying up the grant match that's going to be required. Very important. So.
Yeah.
Then the other one issue is it's been a month or maybe even a month and a half ago, a council member suggested that we give the firemen a quarterly bump in their raise, which or in their salary, which isn't a whole lot of money. It did bring up the issues of how do we secure more participation from volunteers? Because if you look at the attendance records, you see that very, very few people actually go to the events, a fire call, for example. And so we're trying to have that discussion of how do we encourage those that sign up and are on the official roster to actually attend. They do pretty good at attending meetings, training meetings, but when we need them at an event, it becomes more difficult. But it's a day-night thing. You know, a lot of them work during the day, or even some of them work at night, so they can't go to the calls. But you have to have enough manpower on scene to be able to fight the fire or take care of a wreck correctly. And so those discussions are going on. We're starting tonight a discussion in more depth of the C&D landfill. City of Caney has been providing a landfill for a number of years for C&D material under the direction of the state statutes and the Bureau of Waste Management. And we're getting to the end of available land without going up. And we have a plan. They have a plan in place that allows them to go up and provide for C&D landfill, but we quite frankly don't have the equipment to do that with. We just aren't capable of hauling large amounts of dirt. We're not capable of smashing the C&D debris correctly to where we can maximize the use of that land. And so we're having those discussions. You know, what are the alternatives? If we make a decision to close the landfill, then we're facing closure requirements as spelled by the statutes and the administrative rules. And that will involve a lot of dirt that we don't have. And they don't give dirt away. You have to buy it. And every year we do a estimated closure cost. And it's well over $75,000 to close this landfill. And that's another expense that you have to worry about. So
it's not one thing, it's the other. You know, we're trying to either grow it or close it, and it comes with some sort of statute with either avenue that you take there. And again, you know, kind of going back to the firefighter things as well, it's an easy area that people overlook, that it is, you know, it's a government job, but it's a job that has to be done. You know, if no one was there,
it's vital to the community.
It is beyond vital to the community, and it's a position that takes a rare breed of human. You know, it's a caregiver. You know, they are there and people to save potentially lives at certain times, and you know, to motivate people to volunteer, as you mentioned, Fred, or to actually get in the line of work of firefighting, whether it's on a residential basis in a city or on larger fire, you know, wildfires, whatever it may be, if you actually have a passion for it. It's a rare breed. You don't necessarily see it often, and you've got to kind of to fill those voids when it comes to bringing in volunteers or whatever it may be. And do you guys have, I mean, is it, I mean, a volunteer basis, but would that mean that they get compensation for their work or?
They get paid money. It's not a whole lot of money. The chief, the assistant chief, and the captains, they get a little more, mm-hmm. But they get paid quarterly. So that tells you that right now they're getting $80.50 a quarter, which isn't a whole lot of money.
Yep.
But they're also on the roster for the Fireman's Relief Fund, which provides a fairly decent payout after they've been there a number of years. And you can repeat that. Once you've served your 20-year period, you can start another 20-year period. And it's a very important part of it, and that's an item that actually our insurance premiums pay for. And it's positive. But, you know, we have we've got a core group of volunteers that do a good job. And I wished it was easier to provide them a lot of training, but it's not because of the day-night thing, you know. So they've worked all week long, and now you're asking me to give up a weekend for 2 days of training, detailed training. That can be difficult because they do have lives, you know. But there's a happy median there somewhere. I know there is. So, but, yeah, you talk about important. You know, our ISO rating in every community is based on some of the calculations are based on manpower and training of that manpower. So it becomes a difficult issue, but one we're going to have to deal with and work through. So
yeah, certainly. I hadn't even thought of that, you know, because, I mean, maybe you're working an even more physically demanding job because, I mean, firefighting, training for firefighting, that's going to be exhausting. And you may be at a more physically demanding job the 5 days through the week. So, yeah, didn't even think about that. You know, there's got to be some incentive behind it because it is a vital. It is vital to it. So,
and that's what makes it so important. You know, in a volunteer rural setting, you help your neighbors too. So you've got all those other volunteer departments that all you got to do is call and they'll come running. And that's critical as well. So,
yeah. Again, rare breed of human to just kind of drop and come and help at the worst of times. So,
and the other thing going on, Sam, is we are actually starting some condemnation of structures in town that are in bad need of removal. Of course, that will eventually go to bids, and hopefully we can get appropriate bids to where we can afford to remove some of these structures. We've got one structure that we're working with KDH&E on to get mitigated, and it's probably the worst of the worst. Every town has them, but this one has been around for a while, and we're finally working through all the bureaucratic nightmare to hopefully get it taken care of. It is an out-of-state owner, which makes it even more difficult, but we'll get there. The other items on the issue, you know, we're required under state law and state administrative rules to have generator power at the water plant, the wastewater plant, and we have a generator at City Hall as well, and you got to do maintenance on those things. And we're going to ask for permission to replace the fuel injection system on the generator at the water treatment plant. So that's a $4,000 or $5,000 item, so we want the council to be involved in that as well. And then all those standards come, you know, you have to maintain the quality of the water, and to do that you have to have testing equipment and metering equipment, and you have to pay for a service contract to keep that stuff accurate, and that thing's almost $8,300 a year. So every year we bring it back to the council, one, to make sure they're informed as to what's going on and where the money's going, and two, it's a critical part of their understanding of the water treatment plant. So that's why it's on the agenda.
Comes with it, you know, basic maintenance. And back to the condemnation as well of some properties. Most people don't realize that, yeah, we have to spend money to get these out of here, but potentially it's stopping businesses from coming here. You know, the look of our town is very important for new businesses or for new residents or for whoever it may be. Not only that, but it could be a safety hazard. It could be a health hazard, even if there's things, for goodness sakes, things growing in there, molds or things, something like that. You know, if it's been there long enough, who knows what is there. But again, it's an overlooked aspect that a town takes care of. You know, it's an old building, like you said, it's an out-of-state owner. What are the complications with an out-of-state owner? Is it just tracking them down to...
Well, that's part of it, and you almost know going in that when you send out all this certified mail, and it has to all go by certified mail because of the due process requirements, they're probably not going to pick that letter up. So you try and make contact with them in other ways, and you want them to know that when they come back to town and their house is gone, you want them to know why.
Yeah.
And even though they probably already knew it. But, I mean, we take pictures, we send pictures, we send conditions, we do a write-up on each structure and rate it as to whether or not it possibly could be rehabbed. Of course, that's a decision of whoever owns it, how much money they want to throw into this old structure. You still have an old structure, even though when you're done. So.
Yep.
But we're starting to see some issues in downtown Caney as well, and you know, every town has had that problem. Independence went through a lot of structures that were having facade fall off, and so it is a maintenance issue.
Yep. A little bit of upkeep and a little bit of facelift as well. So Thomas Burke, Fred Gress with us here this morning from the city of Caney. Any final notes for us?
A couple weeks ago we were Councilwoman Patterson and myself went to the League of Kansas Municipalities yearly conference, probably one of the best conferences that I've been to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really inspired you to do more, to, you know, they also had breakout sessions inside, which were like strategic planning, salary and workforce trends. Very eye-opening as far as the public entity and running a city. So there were different workshops, different things that went on that really helped
and discussions
mayor and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to
cool.
meet with different mayors and council people. So went really well.
Yeah. I always love those types of events because again, you can kind of converse with other people who are either in your shoes or have been there or are trying to be there and, you know, just open your mind to their ideas. They can open theirs to yours and to kind of just go back and forth. Not only that, but you can open your network as well. It's never a bad thing to have a few friends in the business to maybe call up and ask for some advice sometimes or vice versa, whatever it may be. So again,
exactly,
we've got
right.
City Administrator Fred Gress here this morning of the City of Caney, as well as Caney Mayor Thomas Burke. Gentlemen, it's been a while, but always appreciate these interviews. Thanks for coming on in here this morning.
Thanks,
Thank
Sam.
You, Sam. Thanks for the opportunity.
Of course. This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.